This podcast is sponsored by Runway, air traffic control for your mobile releases. Put your releases on autopilot. Runway will shepherd your release from kickoff to submission to release with no manual intervention. A single source of truth for your releases. Runway integrates with your favorite tools for a bird's eye view over release progress and blockers. Make your releases collaborative. Get a rich, contextualized release runbook that makes capturing responsibilities and tracking tasks crystal clear. Get more control on your releases on App Store and Play Store. Point your browser to runway.team. Thank you for sponsoring my podcast. I'm also revamping my newsletter. Check it out, appforce1.net to sign up. You can also find a sign-up link on my Twitter profile. Hi, and welcome to the 30th episode of my podcast. My name is Jeroen Leenerts and I've been developing software for over 18 years. I've been developing iOS apps for over 9 years and I'm running the Dutch Coke Hats for over 7 years. If you're an iOS app developer, you should listen to my podcast because it will keep you updated on interesting articles and events. In this episode, I'm going to talk about, and away we code, core data in memory store, crop UI image in Swift, implementing custom pop-ups in Swift UI, integrating FaceID, TouchID with Swift UI, and Danny's Monday morning tweet. So let's get started. I'm sitting here in the attic and it's starting to look more and more like a proper desk again. I treated myself with a new 27-inch screen and it really helps my workflow being able to just lay out everything in front of me. I'm really looking forward to the content of the WWDC and that's also going to be one of the articles that I'm going to mention in a bit. And by the looks of things, I will have my desk ready to go before the WWDC will start, so that's a good thing, because I don't think my family will enjoy endless videos of developer content being played back on a big television in the living room. I've also been seeing some great developments with a few community members. I'm talking about some people that I know a bit more intimate than people that are on the other side of the world, so hopefully I can share a bit more on their journeys. My my recorded interviews for the coming weeks ready to go are interviews I already recorded with Jordi Bruin, Filip Nemecek, Dave Verweer, Dominic Williams and Reinder de Vries. I also have work scheduled with Kim Arnett. I'm really looking for some fresh faces for the future. So if you know somebody you think I should interview for my podcast, or if you are somebody yourself who would like to be interviewed for my podcast, reach out, get in touch on Twitter at AppForce1. I really like digging into the backstories of my guests during an interview. And I hope you've been enjoying the results of my work as much as I have been enjoying creating the content itself. Obviously, quote-unquote, this week's articles have been a bit sparse because of my switch schedule last week. So let's start with the articles that were fresh and new this week and see where we'll end up. The first article I want to talk about is about some event that will happen on June 7th. Apple has announced some of the content that will be available during the WWDC. But now we know that there will be a keynote, a State of the Union, and the Apple Design Awards will be back. Not a lot of details yet on their webpage, but there's enough little bits of information that are interesting to just have a look at. So head on over to developer.apple.com/WWDC21. The next article is from UserLoaf, Core Data in Memory Store. It's an article about how you can use the in-memory core data stack for speeding up your tests and SwiftUI previews. The core data stack normally uses on-disk SQLite as a storage backend, and that causes some extra work when running tests as you need to reset the store to a known state before each test. It's also relatively slow, which can be a pain when you're working with SwiftUI previews. In the article, it will be described how you can create an in-memory store instead of a SQLite-based store, and what are some of the advantages and things you need to take into account when using an in-memory store. So have a look at Keith Harrison's article on Core Data in-memory store. Robert Pieta writes an article on cropping UI images in Swift. In his article, he teaches you how to crop a UI image in Swift to different boundaries, including centering and circular crops like social media apps. Cropping images is a common task across iOS and macOS apps, especially cropping user profile images in social media apps is a perfect example of this in practice. In his post, Robert presents examples of cropping images in Swift, including a center and circle crop. It's a very practical article with very useful tips that you can immediately apply when you're dealing with cropping of images in Swift. In his article, Artem wants to highlight the key moments of implementing custom pop-ups. It won't be a tutorial format, but he will add a specific layout, and he hopes it helps you when you're using overlays, geometric readers, and modifiers in your projects. So he starts with a little bit of design up front, then talks a bit about modifiers and view extensions, and then the pop-up layout, the required animations, and he ends up with the actual source code for you for reference. The reason you want to look at this article, because it takes you to the journey of actually designing something and then implementing it, all by using Swift and its language features to create a convenient and concise extension or view modifier that you can apply in your project. Andy Ibanez writes an article on how you can use FaceID or TouchID within Swift UI. It's a nice overview of what you can do with the local authentication framework and how you can actually use biometrics to challenge the user to actually present their biometric identification. It's an interesting article that allows you to get some details on how you can use biometrics on iOS. There is one thing you should improve upon on this specific article. In his article, Andy indicates that you can evaluate a policy for device ownership, but you should actually guard the actual piece of information within the keychain with the correct access control attributes. And I have an additional link in my show notes to some code that I wrote that I think is a good addition onto the content that Andy has written. It requires a bit of a conceptual change compared to what Andy is doing. Andy is really checking for a device policy. And what I suggest that you do is store specific information in the keychain with these access control attributes. And then you can just query and read the data from the keychain. But because these access control attributes are present on this item, it will in fact trigger a biometric challenge to you as an end user, and thus safeguarding the data with the biometrics for the actual device. And those are the articles for this week, except for the special one. Let's pull the lever again. Swift UI in Weld by Cesar Vargas Casaseca, or how we started using Swift UI in production code without major headaches. With the product owner's green light for dropping the support for iOS 12 downwards, a new world of juicy possibilities emerged in the development horizon of Cesar and his team. Together with iOS 13, two major new Apple frameworks were released, Combine and Swift UI, the new framework to design and develop user interfaces declaratively and with less code. In this story, Cesar wants to present the process that they followed when they started using Swift UI in their production codebase. The combined part of their transition went relatively smoothly, but Swift UI required some more work and elbow grease. And now Donnie's Monday morning tweet. Stuart Lynch has just released his Swift UI Combine open source project, YouTube Channel Watcher. Combine code has been thanks to Donnie's. Christian Kozarowski has released his radio app called Ether for macOS, iOS, and tvOS. Soon he will be releasing the 1.0.1 update that adds previous searches feature and improves a bit of UI. Michael Tigas is wrapping up adding a couple of in-app widget and dark mode themes for a focused work app. Leo Gideon is putting out an article on dev teams and UI design. He released an episode that he did with Josh Holtz of Fastlane Tools, and he updated some articles of his on CI and Swift Package Manager, and he's preparing for Empowered Apps episodes during WWDC 2021. On top of that, he's also been playing around with full-stack Swift app for Watch, iOS, and macOS. TunsDev built on top of his video of last week, in which he built a dynamic form, but this time he's adding some form validation using Combine. Patrick is currently trying to make a custom UI navigation controller, UI split view controller, and he's having to adjust to in-person schooling again. A limited DFS released Bluebird App 2.0, an overhaul from React Native to Swift UI. Since then, Limited DFS has been working on letting more people know the app, which feels much tougher than the coding part. Matt Masikota has a big day today. He is turning a side project into a real thing called Stack Sift. It's a crash reporting utility for iOS, macOS, and tvOS. end-user and developer privacy, it's modular with an optional SDK, lots of open source, it supports Metrikit, and it's a new take on analysis and grouping. You can find more info on stacksift.io. They're still looking for testers. Daniel Behar is working on his Theremin app. He's trying to map pitches and frequencies from AudioKit to a slider, but the distance of hertz between notes increases as you go. Aria will try to create pitch regions and average the hertz rate across each region. I'm not even sure what I just said there, but I think Daniel knows what he's doing. And with that, we're there for this episode. If you have any feedback or comments, please DM me on Twitter at AppForce1. I really look forward to your feedback, your comments, your ideas and suggestions. Just let me know what you think, and I will talk to you again next week. Lead Developer, best practices and tips for lead software developers. PDF, MOBI and EPUB format. AppForce1.net/lead developer. All one word.